Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome Judy Carroll. She is an author and has had encounters with gray extraterrestrials since early childhood. 60 years of these ongoing and at times fully conscious encounters have given her deep insight into this phenomenon, which is happening to many thousands of people worldwide. Judy, welcome, and how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thanks, Chris, and thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. I've been looking forward to this. I really enjoy having guests like yourself that have had these extraordinary contact experiences to help people like myself who and the audience who either haven't experienced this or may not even remember. And there's so many aspects to explore of it. One of the big questions for me is how much of this phenomenon is actually off-planet or interdimensional contact, and how much of it could be just our black projects from various dark factions or military projects. But first, before we get into anything, I'd like to start with a little bit about your background and how all of this started for you.
Yes, Chris. Well, I was actually part of the three waves of volunteers that Dolores Cannon speaks about in her book, who volunteered to come to planet Earth at this time, which is a very important time because of the shift the planet's going through from fourth to fifth world consciousness. And a number of us have come through over the years, going right back to the 1940s, and I think some even earlier. I was born here in 1952, and because of the nature of the sort of work that I'm doing, I volunteered to come in with what's called a blended soul or a dual soul consciousness. And what that means is it's a pre-life birth choice that's made to link in consciously with two planetary collectives rather than the usual one. And in my case, I connected in with the Earth human consciousness, collective consciousness, and also with the grey soul group consciousness. So this has enabled me to have conscious contact and understanding from both sides, which has given me a much broader perspective to enable me to carry out the ambassadorial work that I'm here to do.
Can you explain a little bit more about this dual soul that you mentioned just now?
Yes, it's to do with the planetary shift, the fourth to fifth world consciousness shift that we're going through right now. And this group of volunteers have come in off planet to assist Earth humans through this. Because the problem is planet Earth's fairly low down on what the greys refer to as a human ladder. So people down here can't access their full potential awareness, conscious awareness. And so they need to have people like myself down here who can actually relate, you know, in physical 3D reality with them.
Be interesting. Well, tell us about how this all began for you. What was your first experience?
Okay, I had a few experiences as a child, and in fact, I decided consciously to experience it only from the Earth-human angle as a child so that I could get to understand the fear. I know that a lot of people go through huge fear with ET contact, and I experienced that full on as a child. It was like I had two brains in my head. One of them was yearning for what I think of as my upstairs family, and the other brain was terrified because on a deeper conscious level, I remembered being taken. I have one memory of being taken up our street to board a train by a tall, thin woman. And you know, years later, I realised there's no train station there. Our street was a very quiet cul-de-sac, and I realised that I was actually taken on a ship. But at the time, I had no idea that all this was happening. At age 15, I had a very significant experience with the body paralysis that so many people have in their contact experiences.
Sleep paralysis?
Yes, full body paralysis. It's mind awake, body asleep, I remember reading someone referred to it as, which is a very common aspect of ET contact. And I had missing time and was obviously taken up onto the ship and had a little bit more conscious recall after that. And it was after that experience at age 15 that the greys, particularly a teacher that I know as Maris, started coming into my life and having a much stronger influence. and helping me through things. I was given advice to you know, do certain things. Like, for example, I became a professional dancer, a flamenco dancer of all things, following in the footsteps of my great-grandmother. But this was done very much on purpose because it taught me how to express emotion as an earth human, which the greys have trouble with. And it also got me used to being up on stage in front of people, which was training that I needed for work that I was going to carry out later on. In 1983, I had a very, very full-on conscious daytime experience. We were living out on an acreage property at the time, and in the middle of the afternoon, I started feeling like I was coming down with a flu. So I went upstairs to lie down on in the back bedroom, and I started getting the paralysis, the body paralysis again, terrified again because I had no idea what was going on. And a loud roaring sound in my head. I felt like my head was going to explode. The next moment, I must have blanked out because I lost my sort of 3D consciousness, but I went into a higher, like alternative type consciousness. And even though my eyes were closed, I was obviously seeing through my third eye, and I could see three of the greys standing in the room.
And do you consider it like an astral type of state?
Yes, yes, exactly. That's the meeting ground between the two. And that they looked so real. When you're in that form, when there's other astral beings or higher beings present, they look physical. And they were so physical, they were actually blocking out the light from coming in the window. And one of them was this teacher that I'd sort of started getting to know. Previously to that, I'd never heard of greys. I mean, we didn't have the Roswell incident and things like that in Australia, where I live. And I'd never heard of greys. I'd never heard of ET contact or anything. All I was aware of was that this teacher was not of Earth's human background. He looked different. But I related to him. I felt just total love in his presence, you know. No problem.
And can you describe what they looked like? They were taller beings?
Yeah, the typical greys. He's a taller grey, but I've also had contact with small ones. They can actually shapeshift from small to tall, some of them, where some are more permanent in how they look. And they were just the typical greys.
But did these greys have the black eyes, or did they have any color to their eyes?
Yeah, look, they have black eyes, but what they are, they're actually shields over the eyes. Their eyes are more normal underneath, and some of them have blue shield type things over their eyes. It's basically to protect them when they're down here in our energy, which is of a fairly low frequency to where they're used to operating.
Now, this particular group of greys, you say they're the Zeta group. Where are they from?
Okay, the Zetas are from the Zeta Reticuli star system. But the greys that I tend to work with, or the group of people that I work with down here, work with from up there, are actually of a higher level. The tall ones are of a higher level. We were given a teaching many, many years ago on what they call the human ladder, which is like a cycle of evolution throughout the universe that all human-type cultures follow. And it's divided into 10 levels, and on each level you can get more and more expanded conscious awareness. So, for example, planet Earth is on level 1, so we can access about 10% of our potential conscious awareness, and that's also linked into the amount of our DNA that's activated. Whereas when you go up to level 2, you can access 20%, level 3, 30%, etc. And the group that I work with are up on about the 8th level, so they're sort of almost on the angel level.
So you would consider them either interdimensional or extra-dimensional type of, or different density possibly type being?
Yes, they are extra-dimensional. That's actually a more accurate way of describing them than saying extraterrestrial. The Zeta people are on a slightly lower level. They are a physical race, and there's about 30 races within the Zeta system, and they're probably on about level 3 or 4, and some upwards. But what we have to understand is that all of us are multidimensional beings. This is what being made in the image of God actually means. We're all multidimensional energy beings. and those of us like ourselves happen to be manifesting a life down here in physical form, but not all are.
And when you communicated with these beings, was it telepathic?
Yes. It's all telepathic. This is actually where a lot of problems come through with the Greys, because they actually have trouble with verbal speech. I myself personally have had to go through a certain amount of healing right from childhood to enable me to speak out as I have to do on these interviews. And I still have slight trouble in the jaw area. The Greys have an immovable jaw. They can't open their mouth. So to carry out physical verbal speech that an Earth human can pick up on, they can't do it. And so all the communication has to be telepathic. And I actually carry work out up on the ship as a Grey, and I've personally experienced this, trying to communicate with an Earth human who couldn't understand telepathy. And it was very, very hard.
So do beings like Greys, like yourself, you choose to come to this planet for certain purposes?
Yes, my job down here is ambassadorial. So this is why I like doing these interviews, to enable me to speak out. Because for a long time, people complained that the Greys wouldn't communicate. And this was the problem. They can only communicate telepathically. So there is a number of us down here, as I am, who we can answer these questions. We can speak to Earth humans face to face, teach about energy, teach about the planetary shift and things like that. So that's my purpose, and the purpose of a number of others down here. So communication, basically.
Now, you said you were taken on a ship. I'm assuming this occurred astrally as well?
Yes. My experience is I actually step out of the physical human body. I believe some do go up physically. I know a couple of people who do, but I haven't done that myself. I think it's a personal choice. I actually saw myself getting up out of my body one night to go onto the ship and turning, sort of shape-shifting into grey form.
Can you describe the ships that you've been on?
Yes, they're just the typical ET ships, very, very light inside, very pure, clean, white surfaces. A lot of the ET people down here really love the Greek island architecture, because inside the ships is rather like that, particularly with the Greys. A lot of the passageways and archways and rooms all look like they're moulded. Of a very pure white material. The clinic areas are pure white, very clinical, very clean looking.
About the outside, is it just a typical saucer shape, or are they look different?
Oh, some are. I remember going on one that was more elongated and had sort of thin things sticking up at the back. Some are sort of saucer shape. There are all different ones, cigar shaped ones. There are many, many different sorts. A little bit like cars down here, where you can have a Ford or a Holden or whatever.
Right, yeah. Now, have you you said you've been on the ship, but have you been actually to any of the dimensions or planets that these beings are from?
I haven't got a great deal of memory of that. My memories are more working on the ship. I have no doubt that I do this sort of work, like on other planets and dimensions. But the problem is when we come back down here, we're again confined to our Earth human 10% consciousness brain. So it's like I've got memories, but they're just off of the side and I have trouble bringing them back.
Have you had any regressions done, or is this all your own memories?
No, I haven't. It's all conscious memory.
Hey, very good. Now, I have a lot of contactees and experiencers that deal with races from the Palladians, Palladian beings.
Yeah.
Have you had experience with any beings, any Palladians, or from beings from that star system?
Yes, I haven't got a lot of conscious recall. I know that we work very closely together with them up on the ships. I definitely would have, but most of my conscious contact is just with the Greys, but I know there are many, many others, and I know they all work together.
Now, are these different races? Do they look different than the Greys? Are they more humanoid looking?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Palladians, for example, are more humanoid looking. The complex thing about it is the actual appearance of the Greys is often the Greys refer to their form as a container, in that it's a container for the soul. And so when you get another race like Pleiadians or someone like that who needs to come to planet Earth, and they may not necessarily be able to breathe the atmosphere down here, or they might not be able to take the climate differences and things like that, they will actually place their soul essence into a grey container. So the grey container is actually used by a lot of other planetary beings as well. Because what we've got to remember is we're not our physical form. Our biological form is a container for the soul. We can take our soul essence out. So if you see a grey in their pure soul form, it's just like a light body.
Now, many of the researchers that research ancient history that I know, many of them believe that human creation was actually done by a race of beings, not the creation, but actually the tinkering with the DNA and mixing with hominid and other extraterrestrial interdimensional DNA, that there's a race of beings that are responsible for this that came down at some time. Now, there are arguments whether these beings were malevolent or benevolent. Now, some may call them the Anunnaki. They have different names. Have you had any contact, or what can you tell us about these beings?
Okay, that a lot of my latest book, Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, is about this very subject, because there were a number of beings who came down here. They could be referred to as creator beings who tap into God energy, which with what God is. God's not an old man up on a cloud. God is very high frequency energy. And these creator beings tap into this energy. Now, this happened on planet Earth. There's actually been a number of Genesis events on Earth, some of them positive and some more negative. So what happened, a group from, I think they were draconians, came down here at the time of the dinosaurs and created an Earth human species that is a reptilian species, a hybrid between human and reptoid. And these are actually the negative ones who basically hijacked the planet. They're still down here. They've continued to reincarnate. And I refer to them in my book as the Reptarian Controllers. I use the word Reptarian because they were actually created down here. They're from Terra Earth. So a lot of the negative, this is why a lot of the negative stuff is from down here, or all of it basically, as far as I understand.
Now, there are accounts of several type of malevolent beings like these reptilians, and there are theories that they are in control of many high level aspects of our planet, many high level people and politicians, and control of media corporations, basically running our planet. Now there's a lot happening right now that is changing on our planet, and I know that these powers and control like to steer humanity in certain directions. Do you see this as these malevolent beings being behind this sort of steering of humanity right now?
Oh, very, very strongly, very strongly. As I mentioned before, these are the Reptarians. They're actually an ancient Earth human race going right back, and they hijacked the planet millennia ago. They see themselves as the owners of the planet. And when other beings came and created Earth humans as we know them in that Genesis, latest Genesis event, these older humans didn't want this to happen. They were jealous. The planet was theirs. They didn't want a new human race. So what they did, they basically got in, hijacked the program, which is the interference in the Garden of Eden story in the Bible, which is just a very mythical sort of representation of what actually happened. And interfered with the DNA of this newly created human species and basically enslaved them. And this enslavement has continued and is basically, carried out through brainwashing. Humans have been horribly brainwashed over many, many millennia and still are. So as this is the reason why positive ETs are now coming here to try and change the situation.
Who created the newer humans that you were mentioning?
Yeah, the main ones who came here were the Pleiadians, and this is why the Pleiadians are basically cousins to Earth humans, and this is why Earth humans feel so comfortable with them.
Will there be any type of intervention at any point that you know of that could possibly stop these controllers or turn things around for the planet?
Okay, well, intervention is why, in a way, is people like us who are speaking out, because the ETs, there's certain protocols in place. Earth humans, or everyone, creates their own reality through the way they think. So we can't just, or the ETs can't just come in and fix things, because if we did that, we could do it in 5 minutes, sure, fix things. But then as soon as we step back, the whole process, would negative process, would happen again, because Earth humans are still thinking in a negative way. So what we're doing here, we're trying to educate people to, hey, you know, quantum physics is proving you create through the way you think. Your lesson here at the school planet is to learn to think positive rather than negative, because by thinking positive is positive creation, whereas you think negative, you create negatively. So that's the lesson that Earth humans have to learn. And because they're a very young species, there's consequences. It's like, you know, a child learning through consequences. So what's going on the planet now is a consequence of wrong thinking, in a way. This is really looking from the bigger picture perspective. And I know it's really hard for people to take this on. And so that's why ones like us are down here trying to say, okay, you've got to really start to focus on a more spiritual way of living and thinking, and that way you'll change your own reality.
Yeah, very well said. Now, earlier you were talking about the misconception of God and how it's a major just source of energy that is everything, that's in everything, part of everything. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, yes. That's a very good way of summing God up. They speak about God as being, omniscient, which means all-knowing, and omnipresent, which means present everywhere. What God is a very, very high-frequency consciousness, a non-polarized energy form, that basically is, to put it in very plain terms, the superglue of the universe. God consciousness energy holds the universe together and flows through every sentient being in the universe. And every sentient being in the universe is a soul. They may spend time in physical form as a way of learning things, but our true form is our soul form.
Now, I've also had contactees and experiencers that talk about a galactic federation or a council or this group of different races of beings that come together as a council and make decisions or kind of, I guess you could say, police or watch over certain aspects of certain galaxies. Is this anything that you've ever experienced?
Oh, yes. All the planetary groups have their councils who sort of, you know, take care of things and make decisions, some more than others. But, yes, there would be like a galactic-type council or a universal federation or whatever you want to call it, with all the different planetary groups coming together, for sure.
Now, I've had a researcher, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. He believes that there's a species of gray that is actually us from the future, that we've evolved to become these beings, and we come back to kind of watch over or steer humanity in certain directions. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, this is a little bit complex because, yes, the greys were originally an Earth human species, or some of the greys were, I should say that. There was a species of greys created on planet Earth even before the Reptarian people. I refer to them as the ant people. And they were an insectoid human race. And they were actually responsible for creating the biodiversity on planet Earth. They are sometimes referred to as the gardeners of the Earth. And they went on to evolve to higher frequencies. Some of the zetas are from this group. And they're insectoid humans as opposed to mammalian humans. That's what makes them different to people down here. So, yes, for sure. Yeah.
Now, I want to get to the aspect of how much of this phenomenon is actually black projects from dark factions that are taking people from their home, experimenting with them, doing, you know, terrible things, making them think that it's actually extraterrestrials, implants. Then I'd like to add to that that I believe that they could be possibly manufacturing these biological entities that look like greys to be working with them. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, look, yes, absolutely spot on. A huge amount of the contact that's going on down here is from down here. The MyLab experiences they talk about, military abductions. And yes, what they did, they actually got hold of some of the genetic material from genuine ETs. I think there was Eta Pleiadians whose ships crashed. You know, in the 1940s, there was a number of crashes. I know everyone talks about Roswell, but there are a number of them. And they got hold of genetic material and created these sort of bio-robotic things. I think that they have some of the reptilian DNA in them as well, so they're not particularly nice to come across. I actually have a grey friend down here who had a very scary experience with them once. So they're not very nice at all. And what they do, they sometimes use them physically in my labs, and other times they use like holographic imagery of them. And what they do, they make people fear the genuine greys who are only here to help, which is very, very sad. And I'm really trying to get this out there. At the same time, there are a lot of positive, genuine ET experiences. I don't know, are you familiar with FREE? The Free Organisation, FREE, Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. The late Dr. Edgar Mitchell was the patron of the organisation up until his death. Right. Anyway, they've run a series of surveys, and I've done all four of them. They're very, very good. And what these surveys have shown, which has covered thousands, tens of thousands of people, is that the majority of contacts are positive, and the people who've gone through these contacts have experienced a number of changes, like they've become more spiritual, they've become more environmentally aware, they've lost their fear of death, a whole lot. Oh, there's a great list of differences that have come in after people have had these contact experiences. The thing is we don't often hear about the positive ones. It's always the negative ones that are pushed because fear and drama makes the news. Positive stuff doesn't. That's basically the bottom line.
You mentioned an agenda being to cause fear of the good and benevolent extraterrestrials. Would there be any other agendas that they're doing besides that, for taking people?
Yes, well, there is a huge hybrid program going on. The Greys in particular are heading this because they've really made a bank of DNA just in case the negative forces down here do prevail and the planet gets blown up and the end of humanity. At least they've been saved. You know, there's plenty of genetic material being saved, not just of humans but of all the animals on Earth. So it's like a sort of Noah's Ark project, I guess you could call it. So that's a very, very big agenda that's going on.
Now, that being said, that they're collecting DNA and all kind of materials, we have these cyclical cataclysms that we know of that have occurred throughout our history that, unfortunately, we lose a large population of the planet. And, you know, some believe that we possibly could be heading towards that time again, and there are a lot of changes on our planet. Would these extraterrestrials be doing that for this reason, to kind of collect everything as a genetic Noah's Ark, so if in case we have to start over?
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing it for. And the other thing is, I know people get very, very upset when types of animals become extinct down here. But it's just important for people to know that if they become extinct down here, they can be adapted to other planets. And that's another big job that the Greys do. I actually remember doing that in my past life, doing a lot of interplanetary travel and collecting creatures to assist them to adapt to other planetary conditions if the planet they're on is in the process of dying or something like that. There's even a whole planet, I'm not consciously aware of it, but another friend of mine, Sherry Wild, has been taken there, and she refers to it as a new Earth, and all the hybrid children are being raised there.
Now, I was just about to mention hybrids. You were talking about there's hybridization programs with the negative MyLab programs, but what about hybridization amongst any benevolent races or any other interdimensional races that may be doing these programs? What are they doing, and what is the purpose for them?
Yeah, that is the purpose, just in case humanity ever destroys itself down here. That's the purpose, to make sure that Earth plane humanity can still continue. Because, okay, we might be a little planet down here with only 10% conscious awareness, but every aspect of the universe is extremely important. Planet Earth is a wonderful school planet. And so, I mean, you know, we wouldn't want that to happen. So they're taking precautions so that if the planet is destroyed, everything can be rebuilt again.
Very interesting. And are there any other hybridization programs, such as mixing different types of races, or possibly even malevolent races trying to do hybrid programs that aren't really for our benefit?
Yes, well, there is a malevolent program going down here with the Reptarians, the military program, trying to create these super soldiers. I have met a couple of them who managed to escape and get away from it. basically all the malevolent stuff that's going on is from this group down here. All the off-planet people are doing it only out of a benevolent action.
Well, I've noticed that people have been awakening more than ever right now. People are actually questioning the narrative. They're actually looking at what's going on behind our world. With this continuing, do you see that we could probably have open contact in the near future with these beings to where it's accepted globally that there is an existence?
Oh, yes. Look, they're just holding their breath upstairs to do this. They would love to do it. But while all this negative rubbish is being propagated down here, that all the greys are bad and this one's bad and that one's bad, they're very hesitant to. Because, I mean, they don't want to land and have people go into a panic and start shooting at them. That's the last thing they want. And there's just so much negative stuff. Fundamentalist Christians are putting out some awful negative stuff that the greys are demons. And I mean, for goodness sake, you know, they're highly evolved beings. They're almost up to angelic level, some of them. So they're just sort of biding their time at the moment to see if some of this propaganda and misinformation can be overcome. And then, yes, they would love to make an appearance. And I think that this is, too, why people like us are speaking out, to start to prepare people. Look, you know, if genuine ETs come, there's nothing to be scared of. You know, there's not going to be an alien invasion or anything, which has been predicted by the negative ones down here. That's just not, you know, why would they?
You mentioned angelic beings. Now, are these angelic beings, do they just vibrate at an extremely high rate? And, you know, are they considered just another interdimensional being? And, what dimension do these angels reside in?
Okay, they're right up at the top end of the human ladder. The human ladder has 10 levels. The Greys refer to them as galactic levels, but what they are, they're not places. They're actually levels of conscious awareness. So once we get into the angelic realms, they're right up the top, levels 9 and 10. Some of the Greys are on level 8, and they often refer to themselves as workers of the angels. And angels are not like, again, earth humans have created angels and God in their own image. Angels aren't, you know, blonde, blue-haired, you know, halos around their head. That's not what they look like. Angels are pure energy, rather as God is pure energy. They can take a form to appear to a human like that, but that's not their real form. They're actually just light, like pure light.
That's something that could be coming along with this awakening is the awakening of the powers of our consciousness and the powers that humans have that have been suppressed through whatever it is, food, water, whatever they spray in the air, TV, media. If everything changes in the future and we can begin to tap into what we really are, we could possibly see some of the amazing technologies that may have been in our ancient past that have been written about through these ancient tablets that have been found in Sumeria and the stories of Atlantis.
Yeah. Well, see, everyone is evolving. I mean, it's a matter of evolving up through the human ladder. So if planet Earth stays the way it is, we can't really access higher technology because high technology is always linked into consciousness. So you have to have an expanded consciousness to be able to develop it. This is the sort of technology we use up on the ships. It's consciousness-enhanced technology. The problem is down here, people's spiritual, maturity is too low to be able to access technology like that. It can't be done. Hopefully when the shift occurs, and we shift from fourth to fifth world consciousness, then we might be able to start accessing some of this technology.
Could you describe some of this consciousness technology that you're mentioning?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's quite funny because a lot of the, I know with the Greys and probably other ET people down here, we have awful trouble with earth plane technology. Computers, for example, something will go wrong and they ask you all these questions. And you've got to click on this or click on that. Up on the ships, the computer technology has its own consciousness. So, I mean, we only have to go in and communicate with their mind and it'll come up with what is required. So, yeah.
Even their ships have what you would call their own consciousness.
Exactly. That's how a ship is driven. It's the consciousness of the crew who links into the consciousness of the ship. And we wear special suits that are like conduits that link in the universal life force energy we draw in through our crown chakra, comes down our heart meridians and out through our palms, and the palms are placed on a control panel. And this is how the ship's driven. A very, very, very weak example of this down here is Reiki. I mean, Reiki's amazing. I mean, I love Reiki. But it's just a very sort of earth plane example of what can be done upstairs with the energy coming through the palms.
Now, what are some of the things that normal people can do to start to unlock some of these abilities? Because I believe we all have them inside. But you mentioned practices like Reiki. What are some other things that people can do to possibly unlock this?
Yes, any of these type of energy spiritual practices. When I had my full-on contact experience at age 30 back in 1983 when the Greys appeared in the middle of the afternoon, I was given advice. They said to me, to improve communication, you need to learn meditation. And because I'd been a dancer, I was very physically oriented, so I had trouble with that. So their advice was learn Tai Chi, because Tai Chi is moving meditation. When they told me, I hardly knew what Tai Chi was, but I started pursuing it, and I found out it's known as moving meditation. From there, they also told me that I would have to learn a natural healing method. So from the Tai Chi, then I went on to learn Reiki. So doing any practices like that, Tai Chi, meditation, yoga, Reiki, any of those things, helps you to learn to work with your energy system that underlies the physical body. And that's the key to being able to access other higher things. We have to be able to focus our own consciousness.
I think what's missing in the field of ufology is the ability for these researchers to connect the spiritual aspect to the actual extraterrestrial aspect. There's, you know, the paranormal, it's all connected in some ways. Now that being said, we talked about angels. They must have these lower dimensional or vibrational entities that we call demons. What would you describe is actually a demon?
Well, most of them are actually Earth human thought forms that have been created through drugs and alcohol. Because we create our own reality, if we come into creation with a mind that's distorted with drugs or alcohol, that thought form can take on a form of its own. And this is what we talk about with these lower astral demonic type entities. That's what they are.
What would you consider something like a haunting or a place that has this residual memory or, you know, actual spirits that are still around and can consciously communicate?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. If at the end of a person's life, when they're approaching death, if it's approached in a, how can I say, not being approached properly, like say a person's very, very attached to where they live or a partner or something, they can, a small part of the soul can sort of break off and stay down here. And that's where you get a haunting. It's like a part of the soul that's trapped down here. One of the things that one of our great teachers by the name of Auris told us is that when a person dies, they should be cleanly buried or cremated and the remains got rid of, buried or whatever. They shouldn't be kept, because that's another thing that can trap a soul. These people who keep the ashes in an urn on the mantelpiece, that can cause a haunting, because that part of the soul can't move on. The emotions holding them, human emotion is stronger than people realise. And so, yes, certainly that can happen. We have used Reiki, people I work with. We use Reiki quite a lot to release beings like that. And it's very, very effective. I've never known it not to work.
That's very interesting. Now, when we're staying in the spiritual world here, there are attachments that spiritual attachments that can attach themselves to people. Are some of these techniques also good for getting rid of these attachments?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. We've used Reiki for that also. Reiki is a very, very high frequency energy, and it does tend to, what it does, it doesn't hurt the attachment. It sends it off to where it's supposed to be, helps it with its energy, it balances its energy out. Because we, you know, we talk about good and evil and these terms we use down here, but what is actually thought of as evil or negative is actually fear and imbalance. And so if you can get the energy rebalanced, you can heal that negative aspect.
Now, last year and recently, we've had some interesting things happen in the mainstream media with the talk of UFOs, and then the establishment of the TTSA, and all the things that have come out. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the To the Stars Academy and the things that are going on there, but there's a lot of talk that has been going on in the United States mainstream media about UFOs, certain leaks, certain things that have been changing that have allowed the Navy to report these UFO phenomenon. But I really don't trust any of this information coming from our own government or anything that's established by, you know, our own government, like the TTSA or anything like this. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on this kind of disclosure movement, anything going on behind that?
Oh, look, there'd be two sides to it for sure. I know it is really hard sometimes to tell what's, you know, fair dinkum, excuse me using an Aussie expression, but you know, it's a real good expression. there's so much information being put out. It's so complex. I once asked my great teacher, Maris, I said to him, look, how can we tell when information's put out, how can we tell how accurate it is, whether it's good, bad, and different or what? And his advice was to try to tune into the energy behind it, whether it's a spoken word or whether it's written, try and tune into the energy behind it. If it's coming from love, then it's okay. If it's coming from drama or fear, then just take it with a grain of salt. And I've always found that very, very good advice.
That's very good. Now, in closing out tonight, is there any final messages that you would like everyone to know? Any messages that you've gotten from your family, of your star family and these gray beings? Anything especially that you think the human race needs to know?
Oh, yes, look, for sure. One of the main things is to understand that we create our own reality, so therefore always try to think positive. Don't tap into negativity. Don't go surfing the net looking for negative stuff. It's there, okay, acknowledge it, but you don't need to link into it. The other thing that's really important for us to understand is that we are multidimensional beings. We're not just a physical body. A physical body is a very, very minor aspect. And so don't get too caught up in that side of things. Just remember we actually have an aspect of ourselves on every level of the human ladder. And sometimes when we have an angelic or an ET visitor, it's actually part of our own self. So I think that's important for people to know.
That is very fascinating. Now, if people want to find about more about you and your work, where can they go? Any social media websites?
Yes, look, absolutely. We have a website, which is ufograyinfo.com, and grey is spelt with an E. We also have a Facebook page called The Zeta Message, and I also have my own page, Judy Carroll. And we have a YouTube channel. Can you put it up anywhere? Because if I read it out, it's a little bit
complex. Oh, of course. I'll put the link in our description, yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit complex to read it out because it's a long URL, but yes, if you can put that up. I have a friend who's helping me out. We're putting a lot of YouTube, little YouTube clips of questions and answers up on our channel.
Very good. Well, Judy, thank you so much for coming on tonight. That was fascinating information, and I'd love to have you back on in the future to talk some more.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I enjoyed it very much. It was all my pleasure. Thank you.